Welcome to my Love Life Podcast, episode number 220, Whining, Complaining, and Pet Peeves. It's February 21st, 2024. I'm your host, Lisa A. Lundy, author, blogger, YouTuber, and who knows, I am also a member of the Newsweek Expert Forum. What I do is I help people be happy, healthy, and well-loved, even when life is very difficult. As my disclaimer, this podcast does not constitute medical or therapy advice in any capacity. I do not use music anymore for my podcast intros. Please join the movement and get other social media content creators to ditch the music when combined with voice, because that would be very helpful to people who are hard of hearing or have hearing loss. End of non-musical podcast intro. Whining, complaining, and pet peeves. Oh, do you know where I'm going with this? Well, I wasn't sure where I'm going with this. But before I break this apart, starting with some definitions, I do want to backtrack and say, if you're feeling suicidal, helpless, hopeless, life is too hard for you, please call 1-800-273-8255 or call or text 988. That is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. We do have help for you. Please take the help. And the other piece is that nothing I say in this podcast or any of my other content in any form is designed or intended to be medical or therapy advice. It is simply not that. Okay, whining, complaining, and pet peeves. Okay, so we're going to start with definitions for all three. So whine is, as a noun, is a long, high-pitched complaining cry, a complaint uttered with or as if with a whine, to make a long, high, sad sound, or to express disappointment or unhappiness repeatedly. So it can also be a verb, but you get the idea what whine means, we all know. Synonyms for whine include gripe, moan, whimper, grumble, sob, complaint, grievance, lament, bitch, and protest. The word complain as a verb is to express dissatisfaction or annoyance about something. A second definition is to state a state that one is suffering from. Three, to express grief, pain, or discontent. And four, to make a formal charge or accusation. Synonyms for complain include criticize, denounce, gripe, grumble, object, oppose, disapprove, whimper, groan, dissent. So you notice there's an overlap between whine and complain. The definition of whine has complain in it, and synonyms for complain are some of the same synonyms for whine. So there's an overlap. Just so you know. Now we're going to define pet peeve. Pet peeve as a noun is something that a particular person finds annoying. Second definition is a frequent subject of complaint. And number three, something that especially annoys you. Synonyms for pet peeve include problem, worry, irk, frustration, nuisance, irritant, upset, bother, and burden. So they're different things. Someone's whining. Whine has the complaint in it, inherent in it. And pet peeve I'll get into. So I'm going to use the word complain for most of this podcast, except for when I'm going to take a separate little sidebar on pet peeve. But whine and complain. So I, of course, did a little free fall into the research, which there's not a lot of. But the first question, obviously, is why do people complain? This is an aggregated list. When I say an aggregated list, you know, I can find one source that gives two reasons people complain, or three, and then I find a second source that has different reasons, and a third source and it has different reasons still, which was my experience like a decade ago plus when I put together a self-esteem test for my children back in the day. So when I say an aggregated list, I just comb through everything I could, and this is the summary list. Why people complain. Number one, a bad mood. Two, it's a personality trait. Three, it's for stress relief, i.e. venting frustration. Four, it's seeking validation or ego reinforcement. Five, to influence others. 6, as a form of emotional regulation. 7, they feel they have low status or their status is slipping, although high status people do this too. 8, to gain empathy. 9, as a social way to connect with others. 10, to seek solutions or answers. 11, it could be an attention-seeking behavior. And 12, it could be a request for help. So there's 12 different reasons why people complain, and they're different. They're not the same. According to one research piece I found, they listed 3 categories for complainers. I am not in any way representing that this is the end-all be-all list or categories you should go by. I'm simply providing some snippets from the research. So the 3 categories, according to one source, are 1, attention-seeking complainers, 2, chronic complainers, and 3, low emotional intelligence complainers, or people who have low emotional abilities. Now, so I have to say that there has been very actual little research devoted to the area of complaining. I did go into PubMed, and I did not have a fruitful journey in PubMed Central. I did, however, find an interesting article from February 1871, from Hall's Journal of Health about complaining, but that wasn't even helpful enough to include, other than they've been talking about this for a long time. So I do have a few snippets, high points from the little research I could find. I couldn't sort PubMed enough because the word complaining is used like in so many different contexts that it wasn't relative to what I was looking for, or relevant to what I was looking for. So 1, complaining can damage a person's brain, according to research from Stanford University that appeared in Science magazine or Science publication, August 9th, 1996. That was actually by Robert Sapolsky, who is the author of Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. So that might be a book you want to look up. 2, 30 minutes of daily complaining causes the physical damage to the brain. What we know from the research, even though it's limited, is that complaining reduces the size of the hippocampus in the brain. Now, the hippocampus in the brain is responsible, or it's the area where memory and problem solving happens. So that's a little important. 3, venting, as a way of complaining, venting floods the bloodstream with a stress hormone, which is actually cortisol, which is not good for you. 4, according to research published in the European Journal of Work and Organizational Psychology in 2015, complaining can actually make you feel worse and feel worse for days, in part because you are re-experiencing something negative. You're re-experiencing a negative event. 5, according to Inc.com, emotionally intelligent people follow the rule of no complaints. This is from August 19, 2021 by Jeff Hayden. What they are suggesting in this article is that emotionally intelligent people focus on how things can be improved, how something can be handled in the future so it does not happen again. It's a very different approach for complaining. I would term that a proactive stance. 6, neuroplasticity. This I've talked about many times, but this came up in the research on complaining. Now, there's this saying in neuroplasticity, neurons that fire together wire together. And what they're talking about is when neurons keep firing, together, they get bound up together. So according to Dr. Michael Mrzenich, who's recognized as the world's most renowned neuroscientist, this is what he has to say. Dr. Michael Mrzenich, Mrzenich, quote, your experiences, behaviors, thinking, habits, thought patterns, and ways of reacting to the world are inseparable from from how your brain wires itself, end quote. In other words, negative habits change your brain for the worse. Positive habits change your brain for the better. Remember how I said earlier that what we know from the research is complaining can damage a person's brain. We know it actually damages the hippocampus. So the next piece I found was that increased complaining. So if someone starts complaining more, it could be an early sign of dementia. Number 8, consistent complaining could be a sign of persistent depressive disorder. 9, high or frequent complaining could be a sign of a perfectionist because they are never satisfied. And number 10, unfulfilled expectations. So you have an expectation that goes south. That's a good source for complaints. That's usually one of the places that complaints originate from. So managing expectations can be helpful in the area of complaints. Now, I will say there were a few sites that were kind of making out complaining to be good for you. So, because we, in all fairness, we want balance, complaining could be good for you. I just don't understand how. But you can go look it up online and you can see who you believe. I went with the trusted, world-renowned neuroscientist because I like science and I don't like someone who's just writing a paper with no research. But anyway, there are some people who assert complaining can be good for you. So there you have it. Now, I want you to understand everybody complains now and then. I do not want you thinking, oh, now I can't ever complain. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not representing that. I'm not even thinking that. But we do have people who their modus operandi or their MO or the way they operate is to complain. And we call those people, by the way, we tend to refer to them as Debbie Downers. I am not stating you should never complain. There are times where it's very appropriate to complain. I'm not saying you shouldn't whine, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have pet peeves. I'm just bringing out some high points, and then we'll move off into to different territory. So for now, I'm going to come back to complaining, but I want to take a little small sidebar on pet peeves because they are not the same. They have a complaint. So all three of these things, whining, complaining, and pet peeves, all have a kind of a complaint in them. So that's why they go together in this subject. But pet peeves are slightly different because even though there's a complaint embedded in it, because we're kind of attached to pet peeves. Pet peeves are personal to us. And so it's like, you know, we have different pet peeves, but you know, their pet, like the pet name, like the pet kind of like we have an affectionate relationship with them, even though they're very highly annoying or sometimes even upsetting. So I did find some research pieces or articles, I'd call them articles, not research pieces, that were stating that pet peeves can be a sign of a childhood trauma or wound. So I thought, oh, that's very interesting. So I'm going to give you a couple examples. So then this is right from the internet because I did not find what I was looking for elsewhere. So say, for example, one being interrupted. Being interrupted could mean that you were talked over by caregivers or treated like your words didn't matter. So you could have a pet peeve of being interrupted is really problematic, and that might be why, because that's what happened when you were a kid. 2, waiting in line, waiting whatever, could be a trigger because when you were a child, you didn't know you were waiting and you didn't know if your needs were going to be met. 3, being put on the spot. For some people, according to this article, being put on the spot could trigger the childhood trauma of feeling like they were in trouble. I think some of us know about that. Like something happens, we go, oh, am I in trouble? 4, being lied to could trigger the wound of not being able to trust. And 5, passive aggressive behavior could trigger childhood wounds from experience of that kind of behavior in childhood. So I think you get the idea. So can you benefit from exploring your pet peeves? Well, you could. I mean, the operative word is could. You could use your pet peeves to learn about your values, your beliefs, how you operate, your childhood wounds. You could make a list of your pet peeves and then examine them to see what, if anything, you could learn about yourself. Because of how I am organized as a person, I have never had a lot of pet peeves. I don't have a lot of them. And most of the pet peeves I do have relate to people being treated with kindness, respect, fairness, love, and dignity, and not being exploited, used, defrauded, you know, discriminated against, etc. So some pet peeves could be trauma-based, or wound-based, but some could be value-driven. Like, I have a pet peeve about dog owners who do not pick up their dog's poop. It's really, it's really one of my pet peeves. And, of course, because it's unsanitary, and it's not respectful to people walking on the grass who come up upon an unexpected dog poop. So, with respect to pet peeves, you could use them as a source of learning about yourself, and they could be, this is really an operative word, could be a catalyst for growth and development or not. Like, some of them you're not going to grow from, but knowing that you have them could be helpful. So, like, I understand my pet peeve against parents who play favorites because it's bad for the kids, including the favorite child. It hurts the kids, which in turn sends out these wounded kids to be wounded adults in the world, which is not helpful to the world. So that's a pet peeve, and I understand exactly why I have it. And, you know, it is what it is. So you could take your pet peeves, make a list, and see where it takes you. I'm not saying you should do that. You can do that if you want to. You know, if your pet peeves are highly annoying, it might be worthwhile. I don't know. I've never had a ton of pet peeves. My pet peeves have always been kind of like low intensity. But there are people where pet peeves are very triggering. They're very upsetting. So if you have pet peeves that have a higher intensity or they're very upsetting, you know, then it might be a helpful exercise. I have no idea, but you can go explore if that's what you'd like to do, and it could be good. So I want to come back to complaining, and I'm going to wrap this all up with some suggestions really directed at complaining. I just gave you pet peeves. Pet peeves really have an element of complaint, so this also applies to pet peeves, but I'm using the word of complaining. So number one, please do not take this content out of context or to the extreme and think that you should never complain or that complaining is all bad. That would be all or nothing or black or white thinking being applied to this content, and we don't do that here. I am not saying you should never complain, nor am I saying that complaining is all bad. So please don't go take this out of context or to the extreme. Number two, influences on your thinking. The influences on your thinking will have a pretty direct impact on your relationship to complaining and how often you complain. Now, most people do not understand what influences their thinking, how they think, how to control their mind, all these things that I talk about. So understanding what influences your thinking can be very powerful in this area. For example, I know I have an optimism bias, which influences my thinking. I'm well aware of that. I have been well aware of that since I was young. And we've talked and laughed and joked about it. Now, more of the population has a negativity bias, which is going to give you a completely different outcome in thinking. So I have a podcast on the influences of your thinking. That will help you. I promise you that will help you in many ways. Number three, I do suggest you take a proactive approach. So my suggestion in taking a proactive approach is when something happens that you have a complaint about, look and see, is there a way to prevent this from happening in the future? Is there something that can be done, said, some action, some whatever, where this situation will not occur again? What changes can be made to prevent this from happening? Now, in the proactive approach, when other people, businesses, entities, organizations, etc. are involved, you may have limited options. Like, it complicates things when there are other people involved and you have to consider the totality of it. Like, nonetheless, I still recommend looking at a proactive approach. If you have a complaint about someone in your life, is that your stuff? Is that you projecting on them? Is that the, you know, like, what is the complaint? And is there some resolution possible? There are many variables when it involves someone who's in your life or in your circle. So look inward at yourself and then look at all the variables using my free emotional workbook. That will help you. Now, for example, some people complain about me. Well, they complain about me to me and behind my back, but because they don't like the way I do life. They don't like the way I do my life. In other words, they don't feel validated by me because I do life differently than they do life. Now, I know at a very young age, we finally copped to this in the last, I don't know how many months, that at a very, very young age, I decided, oh, well, the goal in life should be to get to heaven. So, of course, that means be a good person. That means have very little to say when you go to confession. Like, be good. Like, if you want to go to heaven, be good. So I know I work very hard to be a good person, be loving, compassionate, and kind. And I know I'm not being mean or hurtful or cruel or vicious or vindictive or anything like that. So when someone complains about me, and I know I'm not being mean or rude or cruel or vicious or anything bad, this is often their projection or they're not feeling validated because I'm doing life differently. That is not my problem. That is not my circus. That is not my monkeys. That is not anything to do with me. That doesn't mean it's fun. I'm not saying that's fun. But nobody likes to hear that kind of junk. But when you feel good about yourself and you've done the work, you can take it in stride. You can actually probably feel bad for them. But when possible, my point is, look to see if there's anything that you could do in a proactive sense that will prevent it from happening again. Now, sometimes that might mean having a conversation with a coworker and saying, hey, is there a way we could handle the registers so that this doesn't happen? Is there a way we could handle this? Is there, you know, and try to work things out in a proactive way to avoid whatever you're complaining about happening again. Number four, the power of your mind. Oh my gosh, you have to listen to The Power of Your Mind, where I talk about the research on love perceptions versus fear perceptions in your mind and what happens to your blood as a result. So we know that complaining is damaging to your brain. It can make you feel worse. Still, circle back and listen to The Power of Your Mind, because I want you to understand that. That's very significant. Number five, gratitude. This hit a podcast on whining, complaining, and pet peeves has to be mentioned. You will find probably, this is my assertion, an inverse relationship between complaining and the level of gratitude you operate from. Boosting gratitude has many, many, many benefits, as I cover in my podcast on The Power of Gratitude. Build this muscle. It'd be good for you in all kinds of ways. Listen to that podcast. Number six, emotional intelligence and emotional abilities. Well, we already heard from the research that low emotional abilities is one source for complaining. This will change your life forever. I've got a free workbook on my website. You don't have to register. It's free. Plus, I have many other podcasts on emotions and emotional intelligence. And very soon, probably by the time this podcast is published, my podcast will be up by category. So you'll be able to search and find things by subject. So grow your emotional intelligence and your emotional abilities. Number seven, the power of optimism. I'm saying optimism distinctly different from positive thinking so that you don't mistake or confuse that I'm really think what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm not dismissing positive thinking. I'm not saying positive thinking is bad. I'm saying optimism is distinctly different than positive thinking. This is very good for you. I have a whole podcast on the power of optimism because we know that human beings mostly are wired to have a negativity bias. And if you don't have a negativity bias, good for you, but that's what most people have. And optimism is very powerful in life. So listen to that podcast. Number 8, be mindful, be present. I have a podcast on that. That will help you. Number 9, learn to control your mind. That is the mecca for some people, but you do have to go through the sequence. I would recommend learning to control. I would recommend the power of your mind and being present, being mindful, and learning the influences on your thinking, and then learning to control your mind. That's kind of in that order. Number 10, I would highly suggest that you bring curiosity and wonder to whining and complaining and pet peeves. Now, I know for some of you, you're thinking, oh yeah, like what would that look like? Well, here's what it would look like, people. Let's say tomorrow or this afternoon or whenever, tonight or some, you know, you realize, oh, you catch yourself complaining. So you would go, oh, I'm complaining. Wow, look at that. What's going on? What is at the root of this? What is causing this? Did I have an unfulfilled expectation? Am I complaining because I need validation? Am I complaining because I'm trying to connect with others or because I want empathy? Like, you could be like, woo, look at me. That would be the growth mindset, by the way. That would be the approach of a growth mindset. You could really be like, oh, I caught myself complaining. Let's look and see. Am I just venting? Is this a way I'm regulating my emotions? Like, you could bring curiosity and wonder and have fun with it. Number 11, focus on creating your beautiful future, your beautiful, amazing future. I am a diehard fan of this. We know, by the way, you focusing on creating your future is called prospection. We learned that from a previous podcast, and there are 4 benefits for that. But this will change. This will shift your life in a significant way. It has a way of putting things in perspective and changing things when you are living in the moment, so you're being present and mindful, but you have an eye on the future and you're taking actions and steps towards creating a beautiful future for yourself, even if you're dealing with big problems. I mean, listen, people, even before I had my car accident in Labor Day last year, I had big problems. You don't end up with having everything taken from you and not call that a big problem. That's a big problem. But you can still create your beautiful life. I mean, that's what I'm doing. You know, even after the car accident, you know, like, no, nothing's going to stop me from having this beautiful life. So you can do that. Focus on that. Watch how things shift when you do that. Number 12, I always recommend self-care and self-compassion. We have too many people where that's lacking. Boost your self-care. You will start to feel better. I promise you. And same with self-compassion. Number 13, love, affection, and happiness. I operate from love and affection and happiness. 3 of my favorite things. It doesn't have to be romantic love and affection. It can be platonic. It can be both. It could be any version or mix that you want. Love, affection, and happiness are critical and very valuable to human health, wellness, etc. Get that in your life. So clearly we have meager research on complaining. I listed the high points overall, and you can use this as an opportunity to grow yourself, to be introspective, to explore, to say, oh, wow, I just realized I always am complaining about XYZ. Yeah, let's take a look at that. Like, you could really use it as a springboard, as an opportunity to improve your life. And I will assert, as someone who grows like crazy and is never going to stop in the growth mindset and growing, like, I've, like, hardly anybody, like, it, I have, like, hardly any complaints in life. Hardly anything bothers me or annoys me. It's really very nice, people. We call that protecting your peace. Get to the point of peace and then protect your peace. So I've given you 13 suggestions. I hope that's helpful, because it doesn't feel good to complain, for starters. It may make you feel better because you're venting or because you're looking for answers or for any of the other reasons, but it doesn't mostly feel good, and doesn't sound like it's very good for you overall. So I hope that's been helpful. Let me know what else you need. I do love you. I really would use any complaints or pet peeves or whining as an opportunity. Could be treasure, could be gold. All right, I do love you. That's it. I'm Lisa Lundy saying thank you for listening to my Love Life podcast, episode number 219, Whining, Complaining, and Pet Peeves. I certainly hope you're going to use any whining, complaining, or pet peeves as golden nuggets and treasures of opportunity. Share this podcast on social media so we can start helping people who are dealing with whining, complaining, or their pet peeves. I love you. That's it.